Welcome to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa.
I put her to sleep and she never woke back up.
That's Sasha Fontanes, a young mother from Rochester, New York. Last year on Latino USA, we did a story on the incredibly high rates of infant mortality in Rochester, which has one of the highest rates for Puerto Rican women. Sasha told us about losing her daughter, Annie, just days before baby Annie would have turned 4 months old. We also heard from experts who thought the high infant mortality numbers could be caused by something called toxic stress. The area where Sasha lives in Rochester has high rates of crime, unemployment, and poverty. For Sasha, the impact of these statistics feel very real. She told us about the stresses she faced during her pregnancy with baby Annie.
Like not having a job, not being able to just get her whatever she needed at the time and the place. And I'm trying, but it's not working. And I was doing everything I had to. I was filling out applications, going to interviews and everything, and nobody would hire me just because I didn't have a GED or high school diploma. I will be without eating. I'll go down to my mom's house and eat, but then I'll make sure they'll have their milk, their diapers, their wipes, and everything they needed before I even had to eat.
So are you saying that there were some times
where I didn't eat to feed my kids? Yes.
Sasha recently visited New York City for the first time in her life. In Rochester, she told me about sleepless nights. But during her trip here, I noticed that she looked more relaxed in the big, noisy Apple.
I feel a lot better, way better. I miss my kids. That's a fact. That doesn't matter where I go, I still miss my kids. But I feel like sleeping, oh my God, I didn't sleep like that in a long time. but it feels different. It feels good.
Meeting Sasha and working on the story in Rochester made Latino USA producer Daisy Rosario curious. So for today's show, The More You Know, she decided to dig deeper into the science of toxic stress and what toxic stress really does to our bodies.
When I say stress, the first image that pops into your head might be of an overworked lawyer, or maybe a mother desperately trying to find the often named but rarely found work-life balance. But what about stress in children?
People need to think of stress a little bit differently. We know when we're overwhelmed. Children may or may not know when they're overwhelmed, but their bodies will tell them.
This is Dr. Clancy Blair, a researcher and professor at New York University. He's one of the many researchers in recent years who are looking into something they're calling toxic stress. This stress goes beyond deadlines. It's the result of consistent danger, abuse, or trauma. It's often found in children living in poverty. And it affects physical health.
It's the body saying, this is an unacceptable situation or a situation I'm not really prepared for. And I need to mount this physiological response so that I am on all the time. I'm vigilant to the things in my environment.
When we think of a normal stress response, we often talk about fight or flight. You're living your life, maybe walking down the street, and someone goes to attack you. Your body conspires to help you react. But otherwise, when not under threat, you're fine. Toxic stress is like fight or flight taken to the extreme.
It's sort of like it's on all the time. Like if you knew it was going to be cold outside sometimes, but you didn't know when, you might just turn your thermostat up and just leave your heat on all the time because you don't know when it's going to be hot and when it's going to be cold. Eventually, your house might burn down, but you'll be warm in the short term.
But in the case of toxic stress, it's not the heat that's turned all the way up. It's the stress hormones that are on.
And those hormones actually are very powerful influences on behavior and on thinking and on health as well.
Toxic stress puts kids at a higher risk for many things. This is Dr. Nadine Burke-Harris of the Center for Youth Wellness in San Francisco.
Children's exposure to trauma and adversity leads to so many issues in terms of learning, neurologic development, the development of the immune system, risk for chronic disease.
It also affects brain architecture. This happens through the
neuroendocrine system at one level, which is the brain controlling your hormones. And so it actually, there's a structural change there. It may change the number of synapses or how the synapses between your nerve cells are in the brain.
This is Dr. Bernard Dreyer. He's the head of pediatrics at Bellevue Hospital in New York City and the president-elect of the American Academy of Pediatrics. He explained to me that the human brain triples in size from birth to age 2. It grows a bit more after, but these early years are when so much is happening.
Because what happens as you grow up is you start out with not too many connections. Then you make all these connections all over them. And then you prune those connections.
So connections, or synapses, form all over the place when we're very small. But then over time, certain connections in people's brains go and others stay. It's
based on what is happening to them in their environment.
As your brain is going about its business trying to form, the things happening in your life help decide what stays and what goes.
So therefore, you can imagine if their environment is chaotic and toxic, then those connections either don't connect to begin with correctly or don't get pruned correctly. And, you know, the good connections may not remain and the bad connections may remain.
This, in turn, can affect behavior. Ever meet a kid who seems keyed up all the time, who reacts too big to little things? This science says that it might be that his brain has now been hardwired that way because of the reactions it has had to have to other things in his life so many times before. To research toxic stress, Dr. Blair and his team from NYU do home visits and take samples.
One of the things that we always do in our research is we collect samples of saliva from our research participants. And what we look for in the saliva are markers of stress hormones that when they're sort of at sustained elevations, we know that that's the signal from the body that it's under stress.
And knowing how to study this isn't just important for kids, because the problems don't stop there. The landmark Adverse Childhood Experiences study, better known as the ACEs study, was done by Kaiser and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. It established that these events in childhood can continue to have negative effects as the children become adults. Depending on how many adverse events one faces in childhood, as adults, they are more likely to have asthma, heart disease, pulmonary disease, and lung cancer. They're also more likely to develop addictions, have mental health issues, and shorter lifespans. And it's not just the cause and effect. It's not that they're stressed out people, therefore more likely to smoke and then eventually get heart disease. Even if they don't engage in such risky behaviors, if they never drink or smoke, they are still twice as likely to develop heart disease. Dr. Burke Harris again.
It's not just about, you know, bad behavior. It's not just about folks making bad choices. It's that exposure to adversity affects the way that your immune system works. It affects the way your hormonal systems work, and it affects the way your brain develops and the way parts of your brain talk to each other.
This is new information. It fleshes out something that researchers have long noticed but didn't understand.
Before we felt, oh yes, people have these negative childhoods. Some people seem to be resilient, other people seem to be messed up. But now we know what's really happening in the brain.
Before, people may have attributed these differences to mental health. But it's not that cut and dry.
There is a divide between the physical and the mental health aspect of it, where people are sort of expected to, you know, pull themselves up by their own bootstraps in terms of regulating their emotion and their attention. But just as one, you know, can't just will oneself to be better when you have a virus or a cold, it's really the same thing in terms of regulating emotion and attention.
And when talking about something like this, it's important not to separate the ideas of mental and physical health. Because there isn't a pill to cure toxic stress. In fact, the best help isn't medicine at all. Here's Dr. Dreyer again.
The other side of the coin of toxic stress is positive parenting.
Which is something that Dr. Dreyer thinks pediatricians can help with. A pediatrician won't be able to take a family out of poverty, but they can talk to parents about ways to create better environments.
The research we do, I've gone to people's homes. Often you go into a very poor neighborhood, bad apartment building, and all the mailboxes are broken into. The elevators don't work. There's a smell of urine in the hallway. But then you walk into an apartment, and it's this wonderful haven of nurturing and safety. Everything is clean. I think that's my metaphor for what positive parenting does to children. It creates this safe haven.
It's not about what tangible items poor parents have. It's about what they do. Other doctors and advocates are hoping that by further understanding toxic stress, we can understand even better how to help children. Doctors I spoke with hope that knowing more about toxic stress could change the way that we approach not just children's health and development, but that it could also change the way we address issues of learning and behavior, similar to what we've seen with learning disabilities. Dr. Nadine Burke-Harris has high hopes for what it can mean for public health overall.
The thing that excites me so much about this work especially as a pediatrician, and is that, for me, this is such an incredibly exciting field. It's like, for me, like the discovery of bacteria, where like people are like, oh, you mean bacteria causes disease? Like, it's like, oh my gosh, you mean that childhood adversity causes all of these issues? And actually, a lot of this is something that we can do something about. So I'm really excited about what's going to come in the next 15 to 20 years. For me, it will be like lead poisoning or tobacco or any other major public health crisis.
For Latino USA, I'm Daisy Rosario.
Advocates are hoping that research on toxic stress could have a big impact on Latinos. According to the census, almost a quarter of all Latinos in the U.S. live below the poverty line. And it could also affect the kids who are just arriving to this country as well. Lina Guzman is the director of the Child Trends Hispanic Institute, a nonprofit research and advocacy group based in Maryland.
Recently in the news, we saw children from Central America doing a very dangerous and long journey to the United States, fleeing extreme levels of violence and poverty from the countries that they were coming from. And those children are likely suffering from toxic stress. They both went through a very long and hard journey. Many of them were fleeing violence or poverty. They were doing this often without parents or alone. And so this is definitely an experience of toxic stress, and this is definitely an issue for the children who came unaccompanied.
And coming up, we'll hear how some of these children are still struggling now that they've gotten here.